Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The Black Fat Femme Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Dr. John Paul, LLC. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Fat Femme Podcast, where all the intersections of identity are celebrated. I am one of your hosts, John. And this week, I want to start the show with some choice words for Miss Wendy's. Because, okay, so I'm going to say this. I know that they have now rescinded what they initially said they were going to do, right? So I don't know, Joho, if you're familiar, if you've been following the interwebs, but Wendy said at the beginning of this week that they were going to introduce surge pricing with their food.
What?
Are you yes.
Surge pricing?
Yes.
Are you what?
No, yeah, real talk. Wendy said that that's what they were going to do. Keywords, they said that's what they were going to do. They said at the beginning of the week that they felt like it was smart to introduce surge pricing into...
Are they delivering food? Like, are they, have they become the DoorDash of...
Surge pricing at the restaurant. So you could be on your lunch, go into a Wendy's, and because it was like 12:30, you could be paying $5, $6, $7 more for a meal...
What?
Because of the time. Yep, I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. This is a real story.
I'm actually gagged right now about this.
So because of the backlash, this morning when I was going through, like, because I usually read the news before I start my day. This morning as I was going through Apple News, they had said, oh, we ha ha ha, just kidding. We're not gonna do it because ultimately, you know, we just don't think that it's good for our brand. But I've been fuck Wendy's ever since they started playing with the 4 for $4. Like, girl, how 4 for $7? Now it's 4 for $8, and it's like 4 for $10. Like, girl, it's a whole goddamn meal at this point. Like, I'm paying $12 for a small fry, some nuggets, and this really rinkadink burger. And just Wendy's, like, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
You have rode for Wendy's for a long time. This is this is a slap in the face, honestly.
It really is. I was like, surge pricing. Like, girl, your food. And that's what I was telling someone this week. I said, I could see if it was McDonald's, because McDonald's, they're that girl. Like, and I get a lot of crap from people I know who are like, you're killing yourself by eating McDonald's. You're not taking care. Screw you. I'm going to eat McDonald's because McDonald's is good. I don't care. Like, McDonald's is tasty. And if they were to say, oh, okay, we're going to introduce surge pricing because to, okay, McDonald's, okay. All right, girl, because your prices are always up and down anyway. But Wendy's?
Ooh, that's wild. That's
Wendy's?
Wow. Wow.
Nah, girl. Nah. Nah. And to any other brands that are thinking about doing this, don't. Like, it's just not a good look. It's not a good look. It's stupid. But anyway, I'm off my soapbox, but I just wanted to share that I got beef with Wendy's, and it's definitely a square patty. But anyway, how are you, Queen Joe?
Hold on. I have to look because I'm like, this is wild. So they call, so they call it, so I'm looking at an article from Fortune. They call it dynamic pricing.
Yes.
And that's what they changed this play of feature. What? Ooh, okay, I see how they walked it back. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Some people have put this is price gouging. Oh, I said Elizabeth Warren said this is price gouging, plain and simple. Oh, okay, interesting. Oh, interesting. Okay, surge pricing, dynamic pricing are used interchangeably. That is wild. Yeah. I cannot believe. Like, first of all, capitalism really does ruin all, and that's just really all I gotta say about it. Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Okay.
Amen.
Ooh, fam. I'm gagged. It is Miss Gaggarella. It is Jordan, aka Miss Joho. If you're nasty, or Miss Gajaho, because I am really shook. That's how I say, what's that, Chango? What's that? I love being black. I said, I love being black. I said, I love being black. I said, I love being black. The little chant moment. That's really how I feel right now.
Yeah.
We are recording y'all on March 1st, which is the day after Black History Month. We had a leap day this year, which was amazing. Yes, and I just like, I find so much joy knowing that both you and I spent the last evening of this month doing this, like the blackest things we could be doing. Like, I know you went to our friends Jarrett's and Travel's Historically Black Phrases Live. For me, I went the Black Coalition, which we just rebranded to Black San Diego Black Pride, hosted our launch party last night in Hillcrest. Like, I just love that. Like, this was like, I feel like this has been the blackest month for me. Like, I feel like I just been my blackest self. I am anyways. But I really felt it this year to be like, I just want to be black as fuck 24/7 now.
Amen.
I mean, I always am, but like, this year just hits different. And I feel like you and I just were both doing black ass things last night. And I love that for us. And I love that we did that on the last mystical night of this month of I guess last month now, because now it's last month and I hate it for
us. We can still celebrate black women because we're going into black.
Yeah. You
know, we're going into, I know that's right. So we can celebrate black trans women. Right. We can celebrate black women. And so that for me is what's also holding me of like, I'm going to continue the reign of being black. And so I did want to shout out. I was going to say this for some of you who listen. If y'all know, I've been seeing these shirts. So, Danielle Young. So last night, Danielle Young, I don't know if you know who she is. Great writer. Mm-hmm. Basically is that girl. She set the precipice for a lot of the folks like myself who are in media. And we have all pretty much followed a lot of her, we followed in her blueprint. So we speak her name for Women's History Month. But also she had on a shirt last night that said, steal money from white people. I need to know where she got that shirt because I want it. And then also I saw another shirt on Instagram yesterday that somebody was wearing, and I actually posted it to my stories. It says racism is stank coochie energy. I also need
that shirt. Saw that. Like that.
So if we any of the listeners know where I can get any of those shirts, I definitely am going to need it. But again, I wanted to just say Danielle Young, she won last night in the LA on the LA show. And so, yeah, for those of you who were there, I saw Char, I saw Never Ending Nina, Ryan, who's been on the show, a friend to the show, Travel, Jarrett, all of the babies, y'all did that. Mm. Y'all did that. Like when I looked over, because I was actually there with James, again, Dr. Simmons has been on the show before. I looked over at James and I said, oh, baby, I said, the production on this is amazing. They were like, yeah, actually it really is. And so it just, and then I saw the photos from your event and it looked like a grand old time. I know Amber St. James was there. That's my baby. Down. I know we're giving a lot of flowers right now, but yeah, you are so right. Like Black History Month, the way we ended it, it's just, it's so cool. I'll say this and then we can get on with the show. We're all dealing with, and this is something me and James were talking about as we were walking to the car last night. there are a lot of people who are losing their jobs. There are a lot of people who are losing opportunities. Yeah. There are a lot of people who don't know what the next couple of months or pretty much the rest of this year is going to look like for them. And it's really cool to still see Black folks making the best out of a lot of really bad situations, right? And so it's just, that's kind of what I'm sitting with. Like, there was a moment last night where everyone was kind of saying that on the stage, like, we're all dealing with a lot of, like, uncertainty. And, like, even for us, right? Like, there's uncertainty for me around my book. There might be uncertainty about you and what your next few months might look like in your career. Like, we're all dealing with a lot of uncertainty. But yet we're still showing up and we're still being amazing. And it just, I want to shout out Black people for that. Like, we are such a relentless people.
Ooh, see, again, I love being Black. I said I love being Black.
Yeah. That's pretty much today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and today we're going to kick it off as we always do, giving praise to our Black sister, our Black queen, Miss Tisha Gamble.
Amen.
Our opening segment is still here. And as an appetizer, accoutrement to today's discussion, which will give y'all a little hint, I'd love to ask you, what words do you use to describe yourself and how has that shifted over the years? I'll say for myself, I'm thinking a lot about like my Instagram bio in this way, because I write the bio was like what people use to describe themselves, and I have changed it before. I'm thinking about changing it again, but currently I think it currently has like fat, like I think it says fat, queer, Afro Jew. Before you used to say fat, Black, queer, Jewish, and all these things. And I think those were words that I think my first got on Instagram or began like branding myself, right? I think I would say like Black and queer was what I would say, or mixed Black and queer. And it's changed when, as I stepped more into my Jewish identity, my Jewishness, and celebrating that, I stepped into it more when I got more into the like body positive and then fat positive and fat liberation work to really incorporate fat. I never used the term Afro-Jew until a few years ago when someone had on a trip had introduced it to me when I was saying like, oh, I'm Black and Jewish. I'm like, oh, like you're an Afro-Jew. And I was like, what's Afro-Jew? They're like, oh, you know, the same way as you say like Afro-Latino or Afro this, like Afro-Jew. And I was like, okay, I'm actually kind of here for that, because it gives to me, it doesn't like it. Sometimes the words matter and the way you use them matters, right? So when I would say Black and Jewish or Black comma Jewish, it would be like ones in front of the other, but the Afro Jew was a hyphen, and that to me feels more together. So I really like love using that. So I feel like now when I say fat, queer, Afro Jew, to me it's important that my, you know, my ethnic identities are together, you know, are together in that, in the hyphen. And the, you know, it's interesting because I say fat first or say queer first. Sometimes it changes with each other. And I don't always know if I always put like a significance on what comes first. To me, it just sounds better off the tongue. Fat, queer, Afro Jew versus queer, fat, Afro Jew. Like, it just sounds better off the tongue.
Yeah.
But those are how I use, that's what I use to describe myself now. And I feel like it's at a place where I feel really comfortable and really joyous with it. Like, it makes me feel really good to use that combination of words. I'm sure it might change in the future. And, you know, maybe it'll change to something entirely different, but that's what I feel right now. But how about you?
Yeah, you know, so it's interesting because I have not in a while. It has been, I'll say, the idea of framing yourself around words is, and that's why obviously the title of this episode is Words Mean Things, right? Shout out to Crystal West. Mm-hmm. Like, It yes, words have meanings. And I think oftentimes you hear certain words in bad contexts of yourself, right? So like, you know, growing up, I struggled with the word queen, you know, and now I like to refer to myself as one, right? I struggled with the word, obviously I still struggle with the word fat. And it's funny because even last week I had this conversation with my therapist, right? Now having to have conversations about, you know, my actual weight in relation to my blood sugar, you know, and my having my doctor check up on that and all of that, like it's having to reaffirm kind of this notion of, you know, well, there's still more to me outside of just being fat, right? And while I'm dealing with like blood issues, that has nothing to do with my fatness. You know, my doctor has been very transparent in saying, it looks like you have this issue because your mother and your father both had it, and it probably was going to come for you regardless of what you did, right? So there's all of these intonations and all of these ideas, you know, that we have around these words, right? Even what it means to be Black versus what it means to be African American, right? I love being Black, like you said earlier. an African American, I struggle with that word because I know what it means. I know why people use it. There's all these things, right? But I will say that what I put in our show notes, I said, I think for these days, I like to refer to myself as old because I do like to be in bed by a certain time. I do enjoy a certain noise level. If I feel like people are too loud, I'm gonna tell them, hey, I'm gonna need you to bring that down. I'm getting into my old season and I'm fine with that. I'm very much okay with these grays that are coming out my hair. But seriously, if we are going to talk about being Black, fat, and femme, right, and reclaiming those three words, I like to think of those words and tie kind of into this really beautiful bow of what I like to think of myself as relentless. And for years, I genuinely would say, oh, I'm resilient, or, oh, I've been able to get over this, or I'm that, or, you know, I'm going after stuff and blah, blah, blah. But I think with using the word relentless, right, I use this word a lot to talk about myself because it really does describe not only me, but I would say us to a T, right? We have, and we've had these conversations both on the mic and off. Both me and you have been handed some really fucked up cards in life at certain points and times in our lives, right? Whether it be with our family, whether it be with, like, you know, the life, the world, you know, how we landed in this spot, right? There are all of these things. But I think when you think about the word relentless and you really kind of frame it from this notion of no matter what people say about you or what people try to do to you, what you might be going through, good or bad, you still show up and you give life the best thing that you can give it, right? And so I think for me, I feel like for both of us, and I feel like I can speak for both of us now and saying that we, sis, like, we continue to get through and we continue to inspire others to get through. And so when I say we're relentless as Black, fat femmes, right? Yes, I'm Black. Yes, I'm fat. Yes, I'm a femme. Yes, I'm queer. Yes, I'm a queen. Yes, I'm all of the things that a lot of people call me. And even some people may call me annoying. People may call me boisterous. Some people may call me money hungry. I don't know. You could call me. I always like to tell you, you can call me anything you want. Just put doctor in front of it. But I say all of that to say,
I know that's right.
You know me, I'm gonna get these jokes off. I think that it's a beautiful thing when you can kind of own, and I think that's the phase that I'm in. And I was telling James this at dinner. I was saying I'm in this phase now where instead of trying to be perfect or trying to be quote unquote everything the world is saying I need to be, I'm just kind of starting to accept that I'm like a beautiful mess. And there are so many things about me that make me amazing. And there are things about me that make me not amazing. And I'm working on those things. And that's the best I can do. And so that relentlessness, right? The relentlessness to make myself a better person, to make my world better, to make other people's world better. That is who I am in jest. So. Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
That's that on that. All right,
you,
y'all.
Thank you. Yes,
and thank you for asking that question, because I mean, I know we can go for hours talking about this, but I think we sometimes get so caught up, like that word, here come that word again, minutia. We get so caught up in the minutia of life, we don't take time to really think about, like, who are we and what the things that we call ourselves or we tell ourselves, what does it mean? But I definitely think that we're in a really beautiful spot right now to really talk about that. So with that being said, we are going to pay some bills, but when we get back, we're gonna go ahead and open up this here library dictionary so we can dive into some words.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We'll be back in a sec.
Welcome back, fam. Today's talk is inspired by a panel I was recently on and the conversation that ensued from the talk and on social media. Mm-hmm. So in the panel, we discussed the use of the word queer as a term that encompasses identity, or rather, whether it actually does or does not. Mm-hmm. There are some audience members of a different generation that did not feel like the word queer... that did not like the word queer and felt as if we were forcing mm-hmm. people to use it.
Yeah.
And then shared that generationally it was still harmful to them. So I went on social medias and asked my community on Instagram, and they had some interesting answers as well too. So before we get into those, I want to ask you first, John, what is your relationship to the word queer?
All right. So for the parasocial girlies, I get it. I think the word, so it's almost kind of like the word, you know, again, and I this is going to be hard because I do not like this word. But, and I actually, well, I wouldn't say I don't like it. I don't mind it. I just don't like saying it. You know, it's kind of like the word faggot, right? The word, you know, butch queen, like there are all of these words that kind of get given to you once you become who you are, right? And so like the word queer, you know, I had to kind of re-fall in love with it, kind of in the ways that, and again, shout out to women that are in my life, right? I've heard a lot of women talk about the B word, the bitch word, right? How they've had to like relearn it and had to like kind of renege, or even, you know, the word nigga, right? Like how we've had to how to, you know, kind of look at that word. And there's so much. So again, all of these words are words that were meant to demean us. And a lot of us have reclaimed them. And I think for me, kind of queer is in the same vein for me, right? I had to fall in love with the word. It's because, again, when people yell it at you as something derogatory, whenever you hear the word, it kind of takes you back to that place and you're like, I moved on from that, right? But in the process, I will say, in the process of doing my own research, the process of me doing my own relearning, and also the process of me growing, I have started to understand that word as to be odd or to be different. And I love that. Like, I personally love the idea of being queer because I've always said I'm Black and queer. And so my experience does not look like your traditional white girl who's LGBTQ, right? My experience is never going to look like, especially being a big girl, my experience is never going to look like that person who walks into the club and, you know, is clamored over, right? Like, I've had to basically... I wouldn't say I'm lost for words, but I'm just trying to pick my words carefully. You know, I've had to basically learn how to lasso in the confidence to show up as me, right? And so the word queer for me is a big fight to do that. I am different because of all the that I'm. I say I am different queer represents for me all of the things that the world hates, and yet I found ways to celebrate that. I found ways to show up in my true queerness and the joy in that, right? And I will say, to an extent, I'll say this, and then, you know, I'll throw it back to you. That's the premise of this show, right? To celebrate being different, mm-hmm. not falling into the lines or the traditional values of what the world expects, right? And so I'll even say this sometimes when I think about looking at our analytics, or when I think about the fact that we don't get a lot of promo, or we don't get a lot of people who clamor onto the show and say, oh, we love John and Joho. We are an example of a lot of the things that the world is taught to hate. And that's the reason why people struggle with the title of this show and struggle with us, because we don't show up that way, right? And so I think that that's a big part of being queer for me. Queer is walking into a room and saying, I'm going to shake this shit up. And y'all going to get it. That's it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's on period. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to ask you as well, do you feel like the word encompasses all identity, though? And I mean that through a lens of the like, inclusion of gender. Because I struggle with this myself, because mm-hmm. I used to say queer as a truly umbrella term, like it was a truly umbrella term that was inclusive of trans identities. And now I use queer and trans because a friend who is trans pointed out to me that she would not use queer because she's a trans hetero woman. And so I'm curious, of your thought. Do you like, I asked this knowing that, like, the person on the panel, they queer for them was inclusive of gender identity as well too. Mm. But I'm curious your thoughts on it.
No, you know, to be honest, I don't really have a lot of thoughts on it. You know, I say identify the way you feel comfortable, baby. You know, for me, queer is very inclusive of everybody. But now I'm just in the place that I go LGBTQ mafia, right? Like, we all, everybody, you know, everybody is everybody, right? And if you're queer, if you're the Q in the LGBTQ, come on down. And even if you're not, right, come on down. I think so much of it is, again, we get so caught up on words because people want to know what to call you. People want to know how to, people want to know how to box you in. People want to know how to judge you. And so I can understand someone saying, "Ooh, I don't subscribe to queer because I don't want to get locked into that." Like, right. Like, I have my own identity. I have, you know, there's a certain way I want to show up. And I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for it. But I definitely do think that, you know, for me personally, queer is very much, you know, I think our whole existence is different, right? Our whole existence, you know, when we think about what makes, again, I personally will just say, I'm going to say this. I want people to use things that make them feel good, even if they have to work through trying to reclaim it, right? So for me, Black feels good. Fat feels good. I've had to learn how to make fat feel good. You know, and some people look at queer as a dirty word. And I think that that's why some people want to make the distinction, right? They don't see, for them, maybe somewhere in their lived experience, the idea of queer is troubling for them, right? And so that's why they want to separate the queer and the transness, right? They want to separate and they want to be able to make sense of their lived experiences. But I, you know, just some people can't see the beauty in the word, and I get it. You know, some folks feel like it fits them, and I think that's okay too. But as for me and my temple, you know, I'm Black, fat, and queer over here, and I'm okay with using the term. How about you?
Oh, one, thank you. Thank you for that, because I feel very similar about letting people choose how they want to identify themselves. And I want to hone in on when you said, like, some people think queer is a dirty word, because that was definitely one of the feedback pieces that we got at the panel, was that someone, and the person kept saying it feels dirty and gross and harmful and nasty and disgusting. And it was interesting because another person on the panel responded with, you keep saying what that's how this word feels too, and that you think it's a dirty, gross, disgusting word, but you saying that now to me is like a knife in my chest, because you're saying that's dirty. And how I call myself is dirty, disgusting. And it was interesting. I was like, ooh, okay. I mean, it was interesting.
The girls are fighting. Yeah.
The girls are fighting. I was like, oh my God, this is a wild. But also, I mean, but also, again, as somebody who uses the word queer, I was like, I get it. Like, I understand. That's how I feel too. And, you know, and I think I when I first came out, I came out as bi first, which is bad in the sense of I came out as bi knowing I was gay. Well, I guess I could say like believing I was bi, but like contributing to bi-racial in that frame, because then I ended up coming out as gay. So then I'm sure people were like, why did you come out as bi if you were just gay? And that really contributes to bi-racial. So I want to say that 15-year-old Jordan was not with the shit at that point.
But right.
29-year-old Jordan is not the person today at all. But I started using queer probably in college. Like, I used gay for my high school experience and then through some of community college. But I don't know when exactly I started using the word queer, but it just sounds so natural to me. Like, it fit so well. Part of me wonders if it maybe you have been – it's interesting because I know we just – this year is like the 10-year anniversary of the premiere of the show Looking that came on HBO that I know some people have choice words about. Some people have really choice words about and choice thoughts about the show. Mm-hmm. I think as a teen who watched that show, it was transformative in many ways because one, it was like the gay, what I thought would have been the gay Sex and City, you know, four queer men in San Francisco. So not in New York, but in the place where I grew up, and being the highest queer selves. I believe they used the word queer. And then that kind of, I think that's a show that made me embrace the word more and really see the power in it. I obviously would have critiques of the show now for sure too. And I do, but to me, it was a show that was really, really transformative for me and my queer identity as a younger person. I imagine for folks who were already fully fledged adults at that point, probably had different thoughts about the show and that in work, mm-hmm. you know, but, I think I've always loved the word queer, but I'm also a person who fits that demographic of someone who would use the word queer, right? Like, trans have been that people who are younger use, you know, become more comfortable with different language and different vernacular or creates new ones. And so I think that I want to give gratitude to that. I think that'll be a great segue into our audience feedback.
Amen.
We're doing something special for y'all today, which is really, really cool. So I guess I put the call on my story, asked folks their thoughts, and a few folks who are also black queer and trans folks sent some thoughts, and we reached out saying, would you mind sharing more into a voice note or an email? So we have three voice notes for you today and one email. And so we will play the voice notes. As I said, so a few voice notes, one will be read by us. I will just name from the beginning. This is folks who follow us on social media. And so I will say that you tend to go younger. I would say we have someone who's from Gen X, but like we don't have anyone who's from like the boomer generation or older than that. So I want to be mindful and like know that obviously a lot of data collection are not inherently perfect. And if there's more spaces to hear from like elder folks, I would love to find out ways to do that as well too. Our first voice note comes from my friend Taylor Henderson or Taylor Renee on Instagram.
I think there's a lot of agency in finding and choosing monikers, honorifics, and different terms that really give you agency and honor how you identify. For me, queer is not just an all-encompassing term, but it shows people of the LGBTQIA+ community that I am also one of them. In past years, I have identified as bisexual, but there's also a lot of bi erasure, especially if you tend to lean towards heteroromantic relationships, which I have in the past. So for me, queer is definitely a word that empowers me to show myself to other people in that way. I think there's also something very valid to be said about reclaiming different words that in the past have been used as a slur and used against the queer community in so many words. So I think there's a power in reclamation and using the past to generate the future.
So I really appreciate Taylor's context of using queer as a way to feel safer for herself and others. Mm-hmm. But I will name that I hold for her the frustration of having to counter bi erasure. Like, as I named earlier, right? Like, 15-year-old me was definitely someone who erased. And now that's not who I am today. And I wonder if she had not encountered more erasure, would she still use the word bi today, right? Or was queer the actual natural evolution for her still? Like, I just have that question for myself with her. But I really, really, really loved her point about reclamation having agency in that. Mm-hmm. Also loving the idea that queer becomes the currency term for anyone within the LGBTQIA plus community, like that it becomes this word that becomes the piece of safety for them. So just love her response.
Yeah. And I love the idea that for them, this word empowers them, right? So that's the thing I think we have to really think about, like what words empower you. I mean, obviously Black Fat Femme is what empowers us, right? But for some other people, some people look at fat as a derogatory word, or even femme as a derogatory word, but it is about that empowerment piece. And I love that they highlighted that in their response. Mm-hmm. All right. So for the next one, not gonna lie, I'm really excited about this one because it's something that I feel like we're gonna be doing a lot more often. And as we're getting more and more feedback about the show, and as we really want to include other people into this. And so this actually makes me really excited that we're including the voices of our listeners into the show, because we are family like a giant tree. I can't anymore because we'll get deemed for copyright. Okay. So this one comes from Sage or King Femme on Instagram.
So the thing about labels, not every label is going to feel right for you, right? Like the same way that we have the full alphabet mafia of LGBTQ+, right? There's so many different labels within that acronym that aren't me specifically. And again, I don't have anything against saying like LGBTQ besides the fact that it's just a mouthful. So I prefer saying queer because I love using the term queer as a catch-all term to say anything that's not cis or heteronormative. And I don't know, it feels good for me. And those are the labels that work, like gay and lesbian. Those aren't really how I view myself, but queer, hell yeah.
Okay, so what I love about this is, they talk about, and like I mentioned earlier at the top, they talked about labels. And I feel it. I feel it. I've always felt, and I think people think I get, I feel a certain type of way when people go, oh, I don't like queer, or I don't want to be put in that box. I don't want to be labeled. Baby, do you? I'm actually okay with that. But I definitely think, being able to say queer as a catch-all, I think it really has something to do with this idea of you wanting to separate yourself from the heteronormativity and the heteronormativity of the world, right? You really want to be able to say, like, just because I may present a certain type of way doesn't necessarily mean I live that type of way. So I get it. But I think really what it comes down to, and kind of like Sage is saying, right? Queer is a great term, but also I love the idea of being able to own it and have agency around the word and be able to use it in whatever context they feel comfortable with. So shout out to Sage.
Yeah, love Sage. Sage does some dope work as well too. And I really appreciate I think to your point about the labels not fitting anyone is so important, because that's again from that experience on the panel, was there's this idea or feeling that we're trying to prescribe queer to people, that we think everyone should use queer. And there's an argument for me that I'm like, yeah, everyone should use queer because it's like makes sense today. But like, that's also my own thing. I also don't ever want to get into the habit of prescribing for somebody what they should do. Like, everyone's telling what they should or should not do. And so I love this discussion because it also raises to me like where I see the work going and how I see the work for myself. For me, I use queer now because it is the word that I love to use, and the work that I'm doing is so for people who come after me to choose whatever word they want to use after this, right? Like, I actually have no jurisdiction or decision-making power on how people after me, the Gen Zs or whatever comes, or Gen Alpha, whatever comes after this, right? Like, I have no actual, I have no involvement in what that will look like. So the work that I do now is so they can do it themselves. And like, if they say, queer is actually horrible, we never want to use it, I'm like, work, go off. I do not want to. I'm the person that tells you that you can't use it. Like, that's right, really great. Right. And so, I think the thing of labels and people choosing their own is helpful, because it then reminds us that we're not here to prescribe things to each other, right? Amen. People prescribe things to us for our entire existence. So we can mm-hmm. choose to say, I will use this and you can use that. And they both exist. They actually don't have to be mutually exclusive at all. So love, 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 Sage. Our last note comes from Broderick or Savory Exposure on Instagram. He also runs against a Peloton account. If you don't follow him as well, we love him for that.
Yeah, God.
Hey, BFF. I am a member of Generation X, and I use the term gay. I am a gay man, and I like the happiness and the levity of that word. I remember back in the 90s when there was a trend among black men who love other men to use the term SGL, or same gender loving. Personally, this never fit with me. I just really liked the word gay, and so that's what I continue to use. But I completely understand the trend toward using the word queer. It's just more all-encompassing, and I feel like it is taking back that word that has had such a negative effect on many people. I also remember when there was a trend towards using the word SGL, or same gender loving, as opposed to using gay, but just never resonated with myself. So I really love to use the term gay, and I also welcome those that are in the queer community that have chosen words that best help them identify the community that they belong to.
Okay, so first of all, love, come on, Gen Xer. We love to see it. Love that he probably was like, I'm a Gen X person. And love, like, love, love, love how he explores the term gay for himself, but also, I mean, throws back to the 90s, right, which is the time when I was just a child. So I was like, okay, this is interesting in the 90s. And one thing I'll say about Broderick, I know Broderick grew up on the East Coast. Uh-huh. So I wonder, like, what may be different in language between West and East Coast in that way too. But I did not think about or know, like, SGL, as same gender loving, as, like, the term that maybe have been used before. And also interesting for him to name that. At one point, there was a trend toward using, like, SGL, but it still, like it still became opposed somewhat, and mm-hmm. it never, like, caught on that much, and he himself didn't resonate with it. So yeah. I love that he still was like, I choose the word gay for myself. But also appreciate how he says, I welcome those in the queer community that they have chosen words, right? Because then he's saying, I use gay and I will use gay, yes. but I can accept and hold and appreciate that you can use this word and that you will identify within this word and as the community mm-hmm. itself. So just mm-hmm. really, really, really love his response on that.
Yeah. And I want to, so kind of, and this is just me being an ill to Hitty. So SGL, it was very much a way for folks to be able to kind of code or be able to, it started off in research, and it was just a way when they initially started doing research for Black people, Black queer people, they needed a term that was going to separate them from gay, because gay was a very much kind of like an umbrella term. So they used SGL as a way to kind of that. And so over time, especially when you're talking about HIV research and you're talking about all of the research that goes into Black folks, that term. But I also will say that as someone who came up in the 90s as well, I saw a lot of M for M, which meant male for male. And so that was another thing that some folks will use or have monikers of. And we'll say, but even, and I wanted to say this earlier too, I appreciate that Broderick said that they just like the term gay, but I think for me, like, that one of the reasons why I never really, like, leaned into the word gay was because I felt like gay was such a white word. And I felt like I the experience I had never lined up with gay for me, right? Like, gay was always stereotypical white, you know, cishet presenting men who were, you know, ripped and had, just very much giving XY.com. And if you know, you know. Right. So it never really resonated for me. So that's why I started to lean into the word queer, because I felt like, oh, queer is very much kind of safe for me in the sense that I'm different. My lived experience is different. I see myself as different. Okay, I'm good. So that's kind of
where my head was. I love that you said that, and I have to say before we go into our last note, on the panel, Amber St. James was on the panel with me as well, and actually they had named that in the discussion too, like, viewing this through a Black lens, because so much of like the discussion that we're having as a name, like, feels very white centric, or mm-hmm. conversations that happen in white communities are different than happen in Black communities. So I love that you, because I was like, oh, that's so interesting. shift even for me, because I feel like in most of my Black communities, like, we use the word queer, and we maybe haven't discussed so much of like why we choose that over something else, or where or how we feel to us as like Black folks in a deeper context. And I love that they named that and said like they use the word themselves because it fits them, but it's also it's also really imperfect like understanding of who we all are as people, especially through a racial context. So I love that you named that, that gay didn't fit for you because it was white. And I will say that even for myself, like gay, when I think of gay, I think of white gays. Like I never say, but yeah, I always think of white gays when I say gays as well. What?
Oots music. Oots, 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 oots. That's okay. What I hear. When I hear the word gay, that's what it reminds me of.
Oots, so oots. Just another point, I will say there is the, I don't understand it for myself, but there is a group of like Black queer folks who also love the oomph music too. Could not be me, but I love that for them. And I've realized, I'm like, oh, you know what? There's a market here, and I think that everyone should be able to do what they want to do. But I also am like, the oomph music sounds very
white. Yeah, too, I'm so. Very much I just gave myself away. And it's funny because I actually have to ride my Peloton. I have to actually ride today because I haven't had a chance to get to it. But I'm really in the mood to do an EDM ride. So yes, I'm going to give it away that I am also one of the girls who enjoys the gig. Usher, everybody was going, I know it was total tangent, but that's what the show is. People were going off about Usher doing Oh My God at the Super Bowl. And when Oh My God came on, I just started dancing.
Oh, that's my it's jam. A bop. Hey, let me love. Yeah. Hey. It's a bop. We can't be mad about it.
Love, yeah. I love that damn song. Anyway, okay, back to the business, honey. So we have one last response. This is actually from your brother, Daniel. And no, his name is not Daniel Daniels. his name is Daniel. They have different last names. I'm not going to put his last name on blast. But he is his pronouns. He, I just want to make sure I get his pronouns.
Yes.
Pronouns. Yes, okay, he says, America has a problem. Beyonce, Queen Mother, on the term queer. I didn't understand my sexuality fully until I was an adult. The terms gay and straight were all I knew growing up and neither fit well enough to use except in those moments before coming out where straight was the default. Being Black and Filipino, it took me years. Wait, pause. I didn't know he was Black and Filipino.
Filipino. Yes, he's Black and Filipino. Yes.
Filipino. Well, how about that? Your daddy said.
My daddy said. Everyone under the sun, okay?
No
race to stay from this man.
United Nations. I know that's right. Okay. Back to the reading. Sorry, it was such a tangent. It took me years to realize that I didn't have to be straight. That being called a faggot or fairy wasn't a social death sentence. Now at 35, I found that I'm grateful for the reclamation of the term queer. I use it to describe myself to let folks know I'm a part of the LGBTQIA, LMNOP, mafia, regardless of the space I'm in. I'm grateful I've been fortunate enough to see a time and place where terms like faggot, fairy, or even queer can carry an actual death sentence. This
don't
carry.
Don't
carry an actual death sentence. This isn't true for everyone, everywhere, and I acknowledge the fact that, though I may use queer to describe myself, others may prefer a different term, and like pronouns, I call you whatever makes you comfortable. I know that's right. This is especially important as some terms may be triggering. Calling me a faggot will have me ready to fight, but I hear it within the community every now and then, and I have to accept it for those who identify with it. Though queer might be personal umbrella term and it feels inclusive to me, I think it's important that we still ask folks what they prefer before covering them with our own umbrellas. I know that's right. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, first of all, he's a writer. He's a his degree's in English, so he's been with the degree to use, baby. I'ma first do a slow clap for my brother. Mm-hmm. Since day one, has asked to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
And finally is on it. And I bet still will not listen to this show, but
probably won't even know we read it.
What a moment. I literally would just spam the fuck out of him. I'm going to say, my nigga, we have read your thing. You better listen to this shit or I will cancel you.
Forever. You will never get an invite.
Forever. But in all seriousness, him and I... him and I haven't even talked about our journeys to the word, to this word together. So it really is special to hear his words like this, understanding his own journey. I mean, obviously, like we came out, we came up to each other at the same time when we were both much younger, and I was high school, but he knew he was already in college. And we had come out to our dad together as well too. Yeah. So it's actually, I have a little bit of like emotion coming through my body. Wow. Like, it actually is really special to read this, because I think we also, because we came out together, we kind of just like stepped into it ever together as well too, right? Like, there was no discussion or debrief into like how we were becoming. We were just already being together in that way, like being in the same space and being who we are, like, you know, the space we occupy together. So it's special to hear this and to read that from him, especially again, for him being Black and Filipino, right? Like, it's two communities where queerness or homosexuality may not always be seen as good, normal, or quote unquote like pure, right? And so it's also special knowing his family, a family that I grew up a lot around too, and now that I like whenever I visit, you know, he lives as part of his family. When I visit, I see them as well too, knowing how embracing they are, like they are of his queerness and my queerness. And so I really appreciate that. I also appreciate how he's so right about how these words may not carry a death sentence in the same way. For some, it still does, and that's true. But I agree of like before it felt like a death sentence, both physically and emotionally, and mentally too. And so today that power is not as much there anymore for those words for some people, not for all people, because, you know, I want to give respect to, you know, like to folks like Nex, who was killed by their classmates, and I'm sure words like this have been used as part of the death sentence as well. But yeah, so it was special to hear that, special for you to read that, special to know that he's a part of this show and episode in this way too.
Amen.
How about you? Do you have any thoughts about it?
You know, so honestly, no. I feel like your brother said it really well. And it's not that I don't. It's not that I don't resonate with it. And I kind of want to save some of my responses, because one of my responses I have is going to feed into segment two. So I'm a parking lot. But I will say that I do appreciate them noting the fear that comes around using these words, right? Especially in public. Because I think we don't talk enough about that, right? Like the courage that it takes to tell someone that you're gay, the courage that it might take someone to say you're queer. And I think that there's a lot, I wish we had more time to unpack that in itself, right? Just, and we may come back to it. We probably will. Mm-hmm. We always do. But I think that that's something that I wish more people talked enough about, this idea of how much courage it takes to check, like when you're, you know, filling out paperwork, or you go into a doctor's office, right? Or you're filling out a job, right? You could easily put hetero, you know, when they ask you, are you straight, you know, bi or whatever, you could easily check heterosexual, right? But the fact that you keep checking queer, the fact that you keep checking gay or same gender loving or whatever, there's so much power in that. And I really think that your brother's response really speaks to that. But I'm gonna save my other thought for our next segment.
Okay.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment.
This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Work. Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, y'all, because I love this idea of incorporating audience feedback in real time. Now, my feedback is that we got to take a quick break so a bitch can get a snack. We'll be back in just a bit.
Hey, y'all. So this week, we are going to go ahead and get back into our healing bag for How Are You Healing? And one of the things I peeped on your story when all of this was happening, which I love and I think is really smart. And I want to throw this out. So as we are continuing to grow the show and as we're continuing to make more space for our, you know, kind of, and this was, I will say, I want to shout out to the listener who sent us an email a couple of weeks ago. That is really what kind of started us on this way of being like, well, why don't we start having, you know, feedback or voice notes or whatever incorporated. So we'll be putting on our personal and on the page social medias, we'll be calling out for people to give us voice notes, and who knows, your voice note may get read on the show. But with that being said, I love the idea that we are leaning into the different words that we've used to describe ourselves, and even some of these words being very hurtful or having like hurtful experiences connected to them. And so for this week's How You Healing, I wanted to talk about the process a little bit of what it means to reclaim them, right? So we know these words, we know that some of these words may have hurt us, but also a lot of these words are words that we've reclaimed. And the question is do you think that it's possible to reclaim really any of these words, considering that a lot of these words come from really sad or negative places? I know for me, I really learned how to reclaim things through media specifically. And that's why I said I wanted to kind of hold my thought from your brothers, you know, kind of thinking about the N-word. Growing up, you know, I used to always be so kind of singed. Like I would always kind of like, ugh, why does everyone use, you know, the word nigga? Why nigga, nigga this, nigga that, nigga that? And then I had to learn that a lot of the disdain that I had for the N-word, the word nigga, came from not only just white supremacy, but it also came from white, it came from the idea of what I'm starting to kind of call like white perfectionism, this idea that Black people have to show up in a very white way in order to be able. And so I don't like using the word, the N-word, because it's so degrading. No, you don't want me using the N-word because you don't want me to feel empowered. Okay, got it. And so that for me is what I've started to realize with certain words, right? You know, I don't go around calling everybody a nigga, but I will use it if I need to use it, especially if I'm in community or with other Black people. And so I think for me, a part of it is, I think there's specifically, right, using the word queer, using the word nigga, there's a lot of joy in a lot of that, specifically in talking openly with people you love about certain topics, even when it comes down to harm, right? Them niggas did me wrong. You know, them queens over there are problematic, or I don't fuck with the queens over there, right? Like that kind of stuff for me makes me feel like, oh, okay, I'm a part of a community and people got me and they hear me. And I'll be very transparent too. It's not to say that it's not hard to, it's not hard for me to put into words or how to deal with or navigate how to reclaim a word. Because I will be transparent in saying that even sometimes fat, you know, I make jokes about being fat, and I feel like that's just the way I deal with, you know, the feelings that come up with being fat. And I can see people, oh, baby, don't call yourself that. And it's like, no, I'm fat. And that's okay. Like, it's okay. Fat is not a dirty word unless you make it a dirty word. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of both and, right? I think reclaiming words is a both and. Yes, they can hurt. Yes, they may have hurt attached to them, but they also can be fun. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't like the word nigga, then this may not be the show you want to keep listening to, because I'm going to keep using it. What about you, Joho?
So one thing you pointed towards is, once again, we discussed on the show before, but like how much representation matters for you to say that you feel like you reclaim through media, right? Like, it's so important to see people who reflect us talk in ways that empower us and or give us more language or vernacular, speak about ourselves. So I think that is like so powerful. I think often about this group trip I went on when I was younger, and this girl was like, she made a comment of that media isn't important and media isn't really helpful or useful to people. And I was like, media literally drives culture, but like, go off, sis. And this moment where I'm like, yeah, media drives culture. Media drives in some ways horribly so, in some ways it shouldn't, in some ways it absolutely does. And it should, in the ways of which people are able to see themselves more and feel empowered more by seeing themselves. And so I just want to give a lot of like gratitude to that. I think my thoughts on reclaiming words. So I think about reclaiming myself. Is it possible to reclaim words? I think, yeah, I mean, absolutely, yes. That's how I feel. I've reclaimed a lot of words for myself. I reclaim fat. I've reclaimed queer. I think it depends on how it's used and what my relationship to that like abuse is, right? Like, people have abused me with the word fat, they've abused me with the word queer, they've abused me with, you know, with other words. And I think I've had to interrogate what my relationship to that abuse has been and to that word then, right? Because then I think about, okay, is the issue the word itself or the way it's used against me, right? Because like for queer, when I actually did the work to understand queer and how many people use the word queer, I'm like, we understand that queer just means peculiar or odd, right? And people use it as a way of othering me or dehumanizing me. Right. I'm then able to separate the two and say, oh, I actually love queer because I love the idea of being odd or strange. Like, I identify with being like the misfit or the quote unquote freak, right? That shit makes me feel good about myself. Yes. And so I'm like, why would I want to be normal? Right? I often think about Halloween Town, where the late Debbie Reynolds said, being normal is vastly overrated. Like, it is, and I don't want to be like that. And so when I think through that lens, I realize that people who have used queer against me actually have no power over me anymore, and I can reclaim this word for myself. The same word for fat, right? Like, fat literally just means descriptor. I think a lot about, you know, folks like Tess Holliday and Gabby Fresh, like all the folks who have done this work in fat liberation work, and but then also like from the 60s, the fat acceptance movement, and how the words fat were really just used as a descriptor for us, and people then use it as a harmful tool. And these are the words that I've been able to say, you no longer have power over me when you use this word against me. One, because I love being that shit. So you call me fat or queer? Yeah, girl. And like, that's my favorite parts about me. So I don't know why you think that would hurt me. Like, and it's sad. It's sad that you think it would hurt me. Because that to me tells me that it would hurt you. And my, my child, you need to figure that out for yourself.
A lot of it is just, I hope and pray one of these days. It keeps coming up, so I feel like one of these days we got to really sit down and we got to nail down a convo about this. But what I like to refer to is mirror work. You know, someone had said to me earlier this week that a lot of what, and I even think of what Angelica said last week, right? Yeah. This idea of being a mirror, right? This idea that oftentimes people like to project these words onto you because they are not comfortable with them. And so when you can say, okay, tell me something I don't know, you know, it's kind of like it's calling a black person black. You know, it's like, I know I'm black. You remind me every 5 seconds, you know?
It is a funny choice.
Yeah.
But in a choice that people use words that would harm them to harm others. Uh-huh. It is an interesting and funny and like sad choice that as a person, you might feel so upset about something that you would use a word that you know would be harmful to you to harm others. And I think, and again, right, like, so to me, the reclamation comes all the way down to depends on who is using it and how they're using it. Like, and I'll say, I feel suspect of straight folks, or I feel suspect of like cis hetero folks who use the word queer. Like that to me, I'm sus of that. You have to earn with me to use that word with me. You have to earn like not just my respect, but my trust, because there are many folks who will use, like in queer movements, right, will use that word to display solidarity and actually not do nary a thing to display solidarity. Like they use the word to say, I'm with you, but you aren't with us at the picket line. You aren't with us in the marches. You aren't with us at the ballot. Like you aren't with us at all. You just use the word. You just use the word to show that you're with us in terms of like language. Girl, that is not with us at all, right?
Yeah, you're not trying to get me a job.
You ain't trying to get my rights secured. You ain't trying to like help me. Like, you ain't trying to help me find a man. Like you are doing nothing for me right now. So, don't use the word queer. You know, like I'm. You know, I'm so, like for me, like folks have to earn that. Like right, like you, that's the difference between like being like an ally or an accomplice to me, right? Like as again, as Angelica said in the last episode, like accomplices get their hands dirty and allies don't do that. And so like if you can be an accomplice, you have put in the work to use these types of words with me. If you're just an ally who's just sitting here saying like, oh, like I love queer folks, you're all safe with me, girl, we ain't safe. Like safety is actually not a guarantee, and you cannot guarantee me safety by saying that you guarantee me safety. You have to ensure my safety by the actions that you do. And so I feel like, so like I reclaim for myself, and I'm very quick to be like, don't use that word. That word is not for you at all, because you have no reason or right to claim that word for yourself. I love the idea of reclamation. I think as some of the voice notes said before too, the idea of having agency to decide for yourself is what's most powerful, right? Like the one thing that white supremacy does not want is for black folks or queer folks, trans folks, or anyone, you know, in between the spectrum of being a person of color. One thing they don't want is for us to decide for ourselves what we want to do with our lives. That is the biggest power that we have. And so like reclamation truly does start with self. And also if you don't want to reclaim that word, that is also okay too, right? Like no one's prescribing that you have to reclaim the word queer, reclaim the word fat, or reclaim, you know, XYZ for yourself. Like you don't have to do any of that for yourself. Whatever makes you feel safest, I love that for you. And like what the work you have to do is just to figure out what words you can hold for yourself, and remember that the words that people will use against you is because they want to use it against you to want, because they want to disempower you. And we have a decision to make of how much more will I let someone disempower me over some bullshit, because I'm not, that's the game I'm not playing.
Let me tell you something. Joho produced the hell out of this episode. I just have to say that. Like, I know that this week I want to give you your flowers. You produced the hell out of this episode, because I think this is a topic that we don't talk enough about, is the idea of words being used towards you to disempower you. It's the same notion of why black women oftentimes are being told that they are aggressive, that they are, you know, or even I've even been told that, you know, your personality is a lot. You're a lot. Right? Certain words are used in order to make you small. And so I think that as much as we were talking about queer, and we're talking about the rainbow, I just want to say the rainbow, the word of rainbow earlier in the show, I really appreciate you bringing to the forefront that it is about the word, right? It's not just about the reclamation. It's that, yeah, there are all of these processes that we have to go through because, you know, our lexicons are so vast and there's so many things behind. There's so much intention behind words and how words are used. But what I will say is that I think that there's something to be said about the ways that people use words to disempower other people or to make other people feel small. And I think that's the takeaway. Like, that's the thing I hope people take away from this episode, is to think about the ways that certain words are used against you and the power you have in either taking those words back or saying, that ain't the word for me. Like that has nothing to do with me. So when people say, oh, John, you're a lot, I go, okay, you may think I'm a lot because you're projecting that I'm not a lot. You know, and maybe you're too little. You're right. Catch up. Come on now. You got to catch up. Come on. Yes.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
So I say all of that to say that we have to catch up with our break, or we are going to be in trouble with the network. So when we get back, we are going to dive into y'all favorite segment. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, Pam will be back in a sec. All right, girl, you want to go first this week? No?
Yes, okay. Yes. I do. Sorry. I muted myself for a second. Yes, I do, because what's fresh on my mind is you said two things in the last segment that have got me in line with my Yes, Ma'am, Pam. So first of all, so Yes, Ma'am, Pam, it's a show I started watching called The Traitors on Peacock.
I told you.
This show is an amazing show. This is peak reality TV. Yeah. Like, people need to take fucking notes. Hosted by, is it Alan Cunning?
It's Alan Cunning, Cummings.
This show is a slew of reality TV stars assemble for the ultimate murder mystery game, which is my absolute game of choice, by the way. And this season is an all-star cast. We have Peppermint from Drag Race, Phaedra Parks from Real Housewives. We actually have several Real Housewives. Kevin from Bling Empire. Folks, Parvati and Sandra from The Survivor. Like, people who have, like, done games, like, actual challenge games, right? Yeah. Or, like, the game of entertainment or Drag Race, right? It is everything. But two things you said in the last segment. The idea of... So, I'm a spoiler for people who have not watched the show. I'm so sorry if I am. The show's
spoiler alert.
Like,
spoiler alert.
At least the 8 weeks and everything to get together. But Peppermint was the first to be banished in the show, and I was upset because I was surprised that she did not pull up the, like, y'all are paying me as angry black woman card because Trishelle or Trashelle, I would call her Trashelle.
She's racist.
Literally was like Pep.
She's
okay,
racist
because Peppermint. Reacted rightfully so when this bitch said, "If I'm dead tomorrow, you know who did it, right?" Like, I also would be like, "What?" Too. And Peppermint's face was actually not remotely that mad at all. Period. But Trishelle was like paying her as an angry black woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised that Peppermint I'm surprised that Peppermint did not, like, right? That's the idea of her using language to disempower and make Peppermint feel small, right? I'm surprised that Peppermint did not come out and say, you will not pay me as an angry black person here. Like, that's not what's going to happen. Because if it was me, bitch, oh, I would have used out Trishelle. I'll be like, Trishelle, you being racist as fuck right now. I am mad that she was banished. I want to see what more looks she can do. But then, now to your other point, right? Phaedra, my girl, Phaedra Parks, on this show. I'm only 6 episodes in, so I'm going to finish it myself. But my girl, Phaedra Parks, is doing the damn thing. And she said to one of the people on the round table, because someone was, like, calling her extra, right? And she said, I do too much because you do too little. Okay.
You do, well, someone too, said you do too much.
Okay. I was like, my girl Phaedra, she is really just giving out to people. And she is, in my opinion, the best player on this show. Like, yes. From episode one, y'all that she's actually one of the traitors. And she has to act as if she's not a traitor. This bitch is playing the game right. Like, I actually watched only just to see how she performs in this. Like, she is so good. This show is everything. If y'all have not watched the show, y'all get on it.
John, I will give gratitude. I need to watch the last episode. But yeah, go ahead.
I will give gratitude to you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me access Peacock, because I would be nowhere. This is so good. Now, my No Man Pam. To be serious, my No Man Pam is just to the CDC for their new isolation guidelines for all respiratory viruses, including COVID. That includes the flu, influenza, RSV, all the above. Influenza, the flu, the same thing. So I don't know why I said that twice, but regardless. Basically, if you are sick but are improving symptoms and have no fever without medication for at least 24 hours, then you're able to enter the world again. Though it is suggested to be cautious around others for 5 days, meaning physical distancing, masking, suggesting clean air, blah, 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 blah. It's a No Man Pam for me because I know I can't trust hoes enough as it is. I know people will take this and be reckless with their health and the health of others. I live in a very interesting intersection of, like, COVID safety of, like, have I felt less danger than before? Yes. Like, do I do more things, right? Like, to do more things and feel more safe in some spaces? Yes. And also there are many spaces where I don't still feel safe and I will still wear a mask in many of those spaces. And there's some spaces in which I'm like, you know, I feel better, or like, you know, I've not been so stringent upon my friends who do things that I trust and love, that I know that they aren't trying to get me sick. Right. If it happens, like, we work on it together, but like, I'm not sitting in a place of distrust, but I live in this place where people that I follow, right, are on two ends of the spectrum, or I would say not two ends, like one, like some are more moderate and some are really much more like this is a horrible thing. And I believe it is a horrible thing. People always say when the pandemic was here, I'm like, it's still here, girl. Like, it's actually still happening. People are still being disabled. People are still being attacked and killed, like, every day. So, like, let's calm down. So I know people will be reckless with their health and the health of others. It makes me really sad and upset because, like, if I am in public spaces where I see folks masking, my mask would be on. Like, I will carry with me wherever I go, because what I not want to do is endanger folks who are vulnerable. The folks who I know that we've already worked through our mask thing together, like, I will be unmasked with them because I trust them, trust me, and vice versa. But if I have a tinge of a sickness, girl, I'm out. I'm not hanging out. I'm not going to the club. I'm not seeing you.
Home. Like, yes,
get the fuck home. Mm-hmm. And if I feel better, because it says, right, if you feel better, but if you still have symptoms but feel better, girl, no, do you have a symptom, bitch? Keep your ass at home.
Same.
Keep your ass at home. Yes. If you have a tick on your throat still, if you have a cough still, bitch, if it's not been 10 days, do not talk to me anymore. Like girl, I have no, I don't have time for it. I don't have energy for it. Like, people can't afford to get sick, neither can I. So, like, stop trying to get each other sick. Yeah. And I know, as well, the employers, what I also hate about this new guidance is that employers can use this to return their workforce to the office at a much faster rate. And that's horrible, right? Because now, if employers can say, well, according to CDC guidelines, if you are feeling better and haven't had a fever, but still sick, you can come back to the office. And we suggest you wear a mask, but you don't have to wear a mask. If I'm in office and someone comes to my cubicle coughing up a storm and they're not wearing a mask and they're sick, bitch, oh, I'm suing.
I'm fighting. I'm ready like,
I'm
to fight.
I'm suing. Like, it's a wrap for them.
Yeah. Mm. No, you're not wrong. And I think it's just, I think we really have to have a come to terms and a come to Jesus with the ways that capitalism, this country, is really, that's the goal, is to get you up out of here. Because, and I heard someone, I saw someone talking about this on Twitter the other day. Someone was saying that, you know, the world didn't stop for the people who passed from COVID. So what makes it think it's going to stop for you, for the people who lived, who survived it? And it's just, it really is very, you know, I keep hating to bring them. I hate to bring the mood down, but as someone who lost their best friend to COVID, as someone who has family members that are dealing with long COVID stuff, I actually have a friend who has to have surgery on their respiratory because of COVID, right? They didn't start having massive respiratory issues until they caught COVID in 2020. And now for the last 4 years, it's something they've been dealing with. And now they're in the process of getting ready to have surgery because of it. So I say all of it to say, you know, I really think that we really need to really step back as a people and just think about the ways that we are feeding into this capitalistic society and the ways that we're working people to death. And I say that as someone who, again, this has nothing to do with the segment, but rest in peace to a colleague of mine who used to work at my old job. I had talked about this earlier on social this week. I had a colleague who passed away in their office at work on the job, was at work and passed away in their office, an old colleague of mine. And it just, it really has woken me up to this idea of how much I'm willing to give of myself to, it's really, again, it has really changed, like hearing that. And this is the second, so I also want to say this, and I don't want to name the place, but I will say this is the second person.
Is it where I'm thinking? Is it where I'm thinking though? Is it?
Before that. Thinking? Before that.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it, there was also another person during the pandemic when we were actually closed down. They were at work because they were required. Well, they were required to be the one of the only people at work. Another person passed away in their office at work. And so it's just, it just keeps showing me like these, I cannot say it enough. These companies don't care about you. They don't care about us. They only care about their bottom line. Please make sure y'all are protecting yourselves and doing whatever you need to do to protect yourself. So I'm gonna lift it up a little bit. I'm gonna come down and then we're gonna close out the show. So for my yes ma'ams this week, I wanted to say thank you to everybody who continues to say my name, our name, in rooms that we aren't in. I don't know if they listen to the show, but I definitely wanted to shout out my friend Risha Howard from Next Door and also my friend Miles Worthington over from Worthy. If you all listen to this show, or if any of you are close to me, you know that the two of them are good friends of mine. Risha was a good friend of mine I met from back in our heyday at Twitter when I was doing some work over or doing some consulting work with Twitter. I met Miles through another friend who I learned has a marketing team that is just absolutely phenomenal. And I want to plug them and say, if you are looking for marketing, they've done stuff with Max. They've done stuff. They used to work for Netflix. They've done some really and very intentional. Their entire staff is Black. Like, if you are a person who really wants to work for a good team, Miles is where it's at. And so I'm gonna make that my Black business of the day is Worthy. Support Miles Worthington and the work that they're doing over at Worthy. They're absolutely fantastic. But I definitely want to say we speak their names, but I also speak the names of people who are still saying beautiful things about what me and Joho do over here in the rooms that we're not in, because they definitely, I will say, it definitely gets back to us. It definitely gets back to us.
Absolutely.
Okay, so before I get into my silly No Man Pam, I'm also going to say this about my No Man Pam. And if folks want to pay me to dive deeper into it, my inbox is open. But I'm not going to be doing any explanations to people about this without a W-9 attached. I need people to stop saying, if they are not Black or Black trans people, to stop saying, say their name and rest in power. That is not, I'm just saying, that Say Their Names was intended for Black women who are often killed by law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Speak on it.
And oftentimes do not get the police coverage that they should. And it's not to say that white trans people don't get the proper coverage that they deserve. Two things can be true at one time. Yes, they both don't get the proper coverage that they deserve. However, it was Black women who specifically created this to speak about the injustices that Black women and Black trans women face in media when it comes to brutality or killings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we got to come up with this. And I also have caught some heat and I got a lot of trolls in my mentions, but I don't care, that wanted to fight me over this notion of saying rest in power to the young man who set himself on fire to protest Palestine. Now, I'm not going to go into that because that is not what this is about. What I am saying is you cannot say rest in power to a white man who already has lived his entire life in power based off of his race. I'm just saying you can say rest in solidarity for what he did. You can say rest in truth, right? Because he felt like what he was doing was truth, right? You can say all of those things, but rest in power, that's a Black thing. That's for Black people who are fighting injustice. That's what rest in power means. We can't rest. We don't get any power while we're here. So we're saying the fight that you fought while you were here, you fought for that power. So rest in that. Okay. As for white men who are still speaking truth to power, right? So I don't want to take it away from this gentleman who did what he did. And again, I don't want to get into the minutia of whether what he did was right or wrong. That has nothing to do with this conversation. What I'm trying to say is that rest in power is about Black and brown people who spend their whole lives on the front line fighting for power in different instances and then end up losing their life or end up dying. Again, thinking about what's his name's daughter, Eric Gardner's daughter, right? Erica Gardner. She fought for her father's. That would be a rest in power. So this is not an argument. This is a teachable moment. I basically want to teach the children. Now, let me get back to the silly. My other no man Pam this week is I want to say that I am tired of being nickeled and dimed to death. What the hell is a processing fee? What the hell is a convenience fee? What the hell is a handling fee? Well, I can handle it my goddamn self. I don't want to pay for you to don't handle it. If you want me to come to the warehouse to pick it up, I'll come to the warehouse and handle it. But don't charge me for it. I'm sick of it. You're making us pay for apples, for grapes, the things God gave us for free. You will burn in hell. I am so sick of being nickeled and dimed for everything. And what I will say is I know this is stupid. And I understand, like, I want to make it very clear that I know I'm yelling into the mic. I also want to know, I want y'all to understand that I understand what it is when I give this explanation. But also, I just want you all to understand how tired I am of capitalism. So long story short, I bought something and it was the wrong size. And when I reached out to the person on eBay, I said, can I send this back? They said, no, you have to sell it on your own because we don't take stuff back. I said, fine. Okay, I got it. So I sold it. And basically, eBay tells me, okay, you sold it for this price. Plus, they are paying the $14.95 for shipping. I said, okay, bet. Because the thing is that said thing has to go to the eBay authentication. Everything you sell through eBay now has to go through authentication, which is great. Okay, I get it. Yeah, I get it. People are selling fake clothes, fake shoes, fake bags. So now they have to be sent to an authentic. Okay, got it. Fantastic. So that's what the $14.95 is for. In my mind, I'm thinking, well, that $14.95 covers the box and the shipping, right? Oh, but it doesn't. So I get to the FedEx and the lady says, oh, I see that the person paid the $14.95 for the shipping, but you don't have a box or bag for said item. And I said, oh, but then what's the shipping for? Oh, the shipping is just covering the shipping. You have to pay for the box. What? So now I had to go into my pocket and pay an additional $7 for the box for the thing to be sent to the authenticator. Whatever. You get what I'm saying.
Authenticator.
Yeah, the authenticator. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I have to pay for that. So what are we really paying for? What's the $14.95 for? And I know it's stupid, but I want to know. You make it make sense. I am so tired of it. It's just like in LA when you go to park and it's $40 to park. What? What? $40? That is half a tank of gas for most people. Half a tank of gas. This is like, I think I'm just starting to get like, I don't even know what to call it. Like, I'm just getting so fatigued at how expensive it is to live. And it is so annoying. Like, every 5 seconds you're having to pay for something. It's like you can't even leave your house anymore because everything costs. Everything costs. And it's just nothing. And it's not to say that things should be free, but I'm just saying, like, my God. Can we get a break?
But no, I mean, I think you're absolutely right though. Like, it is egregious how, like, where people float and find extra costs to charge things for. Because it's true, like, we have a privilege of being able to afford it, and like, that's a privilege. But right, if we have this frustration ourselves, having the money to do it,
right?
The folks who don't, like what are they actually able to do? Like, what can they do to?
They can't.
They can't do anything. So I mean, it really.
And then people. Yeah. No, not to cut you off, but then people want to get an attitude with the folks who are houseless and unhoused. It's not their fucking fault. Everything is expensive. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, yes, I'm fortunate that I have pretty much 2 full-time jobs. I'm grateful for it, but I know it's by the grace of God and also by me by me giving up so much of myself that I'm in the predicament that I'm in, right? I wake up every day and say, yes, I'm going to do these 2 full-time jobs because I really don't have a choice. But it's still frustrating that there are people out there who are saying, there are people that I know who are extremely qualified that cannot find jobs. There are people out there that I know who are literally saying, somebody, please help me find a job because I will be homeless in a month on LinkedIn. There are so many people that are at jobs now that are being mentally abused and being manhandled and being basically run over at their jobs because they know that if I quit this job, I may not be able to find another job. So it's not that people are not trying. It's because the system is continuing to be set up for all of us to fail. And even me, a person with 2 jobs, is looking out and saying, I'm also, excuse me, fucking stuck because I can't even afford a home. Like, I really want to buy a home, but, and I know people, well, you're buying, and we've had this conversation, well, you're buying Louis bags and you're going on trips and you're paying for this because why not enjoy my life now? Because I don't know how much longer I'm going to fucking be able to enjoy it because everything is so goddamn expensive. Who knows how long I'll have this? So it's just something to really like it. It really grinds my gears how, like, I really thought. I think for me, the other thing is, you know, I was, oh God, we're getting so long on time and I know we got to go. I was sold on this idea that if I had a doctorate, that if I did all of these things in life, that I'd be able to afford life. And now life is so fucking expensive and it's just hard. And it's what's harder for me, it's not even about me. It's so hard because I'm such an empath and I see it's so hard because I'm hurt for them and I don't have the means to be able to say, let me help you find a job. Let me put you on. Let me connect you to somebody. It's just, it's, I have a friend now in a group chat going off about how they didn't get the job that they went up for and how they're worried because their contract's getting ready to end. It just sucks. It just fucking sucks. Yeah. So I hate to end on that note, but I will say, like, we over here at the Black Fat Femme, we hear you, we see you, and it is really unfair that we're in the place that we're in this world. Don't even get me started on politics. Okay. Anyway, with that being said, please send your thoughts, your voice notes, your feedback, and your email to blackfatfempod@gmail.com. You can also send us your thoughts via social media by interacting with our post on Instagram and Twitter by using the handle blackfatfempod. Queen Joho, when you're not out here ready to do a roundhouse kick, where can a dog find you?
Well, first of all, stay ready. You gotta get ready, okay?
Amen.
But if not that, you can find me at Jordan Daniels across all the socials or my update website, jordandaniels.com. If not there in my house, laid up on my couch, just binging all the good TV shows, because I'm tired of people. I'm just tired of people.
Amen.
I'm tired
of people.
I'm tired of spending money on things. I'm tired of y'all making me spend my money on things I don't need to spend my money on. So I'm done with y'all. I'm going to just stay home.
And even to add that, MGM Plus is going up. Instead of it being $6.99, it is now going up to $7.99. Netflix, MGM Plus, they have a lot of great shows specifically from.
Doing too much. The way the biggest scam was streaming services. Yep. That's the biggest scam.
How it's they said, all cable. It's still cable.
And then actually, real quick, Amazon Prime. I know y'all fucking lying having your $3 plan to not have ads anymore. Bitch, I know you lying to me talking about saying that that Prime Video was free before when you had Prime, and now you're charging $3 a month for no ads. Girl!
They're getting ready to go
girl.
Back.
It's, I mean, going, it's $3, but like, girl.
It's all going back to what it used to be, where we're all paying. We literally have nothing else to give. I'm so over it. Anyway, as for me, you can catch me throwing tomatoes at Jimmy on Love is Blind and speaking life into AD because she truly deserves so much better than that man that she's with. And she out here playing herself. If you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time getting into it. I just can't wait to see there. We're literally at the end of Love is Blind. We have the marriage ceremony. So I have a feeling I know what three are getting married, which I really don't think that they should be getting married. And all of them need to be going to therapy before they get married. And then they have the reunion. But all that to be said, Jimmy is just, he is gaslighting the hell out of this poor lady. And the poor lady, Chelsea, she crying everywhere and mama ain't got no self-esteem. And I want her to feel better about who she is and to know that she too. You know what? I said AD deserved better, but Chelsea deserves better too, my God. Chelsea, I hope you get the love and the joy that you deserve because Jimmy ain't it. Anyway. You can follow me at Dr. John Paul and you can visit the website www.drjohnpaul.com. I will also say I will not be, if you send me an email or you send me a response about my comments about, I'm just making it clear. I'm not addressing anything about Love is Blind. I'm not going to be addressing your responses to Love is Blind. I said what I said about Jimmy. Jimmy is trash. Okay, I just want to make sure that y'all know that's how I feel and I'm standing on business with that. So you can save it. All right, with that being said, we want to thank our supervising producers, Rebecca Ramos and Bay Wang, for handling of the logistics of this show and super producer, Anna Hostia, and everyone over at iHeartMedia for keeping the show up and running. And I also want to shout out Will. Will, you have been listening to the shows, and it makes my heart so happy to know that somebody who has so many things on their slate is listening to the show and is engaging with the show and is saying how much they love, how much we've grown since we've set out. Will, you are truly a gem. I love you down, and I thank you for everything that you've done for us over here at Black Fat Femme. We also want to shout out our wonderful editor-engineer, Sir Mix-a-Lot Chris Rogers, for all that they do on this show and also on the use of the tubes. Thank you so much, Chris Rogers, for all that you do on the use of the tubes. This has been another show. Thank you for listening. Please stay Black, fat, femme, and fabulous. And remember, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. I love us for real. Bye.
Bye.
'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.